Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, our church went to the Rocky Mountains to celebrate the 4th of July weekend. We had a wonderful time at a cabin, barbecues, just a great time. And while we're gone, there's no end to trouble that the world could get into. The G8 meeting, you know, with all the marriage, all the problems in the world, marriage under attack around the globe, 50 million babies killed annually by abortion, Islamic terrorism, child molestation epidemic, violent crime, forced prostitution, and the economic leaders of the world are rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic by talking about global warming and too much carbon dioxide. So it's too bad that the world is so easily, their attention is so easily put on the wrong focus and the things that are not the true problems. We've got Live Aid to Africa, the concert, many years after the first, and their demand that America especially and other economic powers give more money to African nations. And the question is, can America afford to give more? Of course we could, but could Africans afford to receive it? And the answer is no, they can't. It's destroying people. You know, welfare, one of the hardest things in the world to do is to help people in need with money. If you want to help people, help them. But if you use money, it's the lazy way, and it's typically the foolish way. And it usually works to further destroy the people you think you're helping. And it makes you feel good for a short time. And you look, you tend to not look and see how your money has further destroyed the lives of the people you supposedly were helping. And then we have the Bush White House, obviously upset that the conservative Christians do not want a radical pro-abort on the Supreme Court like Alberto Gonzalez, a name we've been talking to you about for years. For what, 5 years on this program? And George W. Bush would like nothing better than to put a strong pro-abort judge on the U.S. Supreme Court for life. But and he's upset that the conservative Christians, the pro-lifers, are making such a stink about it. And we don't want Alberto Gonzalez, who is Bush's first choice. And he might not end up nominating him. But, hey, he's going to want revenge against the Christians if he doesn't get to nominate Alberto Gonzalez, because he's going to be angry because that's who he wants to put on the Supreme Court. Well, oh, you ask about the million babies a year being killed by abortionists in America, and Alberto Gonzalez is personally pro-life, but other than that, his position is pretty much like John Kerry's. He's basically just a pro-abort. And Bush, well, we've been into that, right? Our phone number here at Bob Enyart Live is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'll take your calls on these topics, anything else you'd like to discuss. We have a predestination and free will seminar coming up in August in Denver, downtown Denver at the Brown Palace. That's August 27th. It'll be from, 9 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. It's going to be a fun seminar. If you have wondered about the topic of predestination and free will, well, I've been doing a seminar on that topic for 10 years on and off, and it's now come to Denver, Colorado, our hometown, and the Brown Palace downtown. It's worth it just to go to the Brown Palace. It's such an awesome place with a great history, and it's going to be a great day. And it's what? How much is the seminar registration? About $30 a person, discount for couples and kids. So call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. If you'd like to register and attend our predestination and free will seminar at the Brown Palace on Saturday, August 27th. All right, we're going to the phones. And the phone number here is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 in Denver. Nathaniel, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How you doing, Bob? God
Good.
Bless you.
Thank
I'm
you.
Calling from Aurora. Bob, I have a couple things to ask you. First, Bob, where's that Bible verse that says, deliver those that are about to be put to death?
Oh, yeah, don't stand back and let them die. That's a classic. That's out of Proverbs.
Oh, you don't wear it, though?
And let me see if I could find that for you while we're talking here.
Okay.
That's by the way, that's the primary Bible verse of the rescue movement.
Amen, amen.
Rescuing children from abortion clinics.
Yes, amen. Now, Bob, the July 16th, it all starts here, doesn't it, in Denver?
Yes, yeah. That's right. Operation Rescue, Operation Save America is coming to Denver for their national event from July 16th to the 23rd. And, boy, it's going to be a great time.
Now, Bob, what time do I have to be there? You say every Saturday morning y'all be at the 16th and Vine. What time is that?
Okay, Planned Parenthood is at 20th and Vine in Denver.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And there will be people from Operation Save America there every day that they're killing during that week, as we have people there. Denver Bible Church, mm-hmm. Pro-Life Christians in Colorado mm-hmm. are at that Planned Parenthood every day they're killing, uh-huh. and that's been true for 15, 16 years every day.
Well, what days are those? Every day?
Well, they kill there Tuesday through Saturdays,
okay.
and they kill about 100 babies a week, Planned Parenthood.
Wow. Bob, what time y'all coming in the morning?
At that location. Normally around 8 o'clock in the morning. It varies.
Wow.
The schedule varies. About 8:30. 8:30 in the mornings are good. Saturdays maybe a little earlier.
Okay.
But every night, OSA will have a rally at Redeemer Community Church mm-hmm. at on Lowell. What is it? 32nd and Lowell?
Uh-huh.
And that'll be at 6:30 in the evening.
Now, Bob, is y'all church the only church in Denver that goes there as a church and protest?
There, sadly, very, very few churches are involved on the streets.
Is any black churches involved?
Any black churches?
Yes.
No.
Because Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood to genocide the black race, correct?
Well, yeah, Margaret Sanger had a Negro project to reduce the number of blacks in America.
Wow.
And, you know, she's the founder of Planned Parenthood. And not only was she a racist mm-hmm. and a eugenist mm-hmm. who would work with Nazis. In fact, she commissioned one Nazi doctor to write articles for her Planned Parenthood newsletter or magazine. Mm-hmm. But she also hated the handicapped. And she said that. She said that what a waste that New York, the state of New York, wasted money on the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the mute, who she called, quote, the dead weight of human waste.
Mm.
And Newsweek.
Human waste?
Human waste. That's what she called blind people and handicapped people. And Newsweek, June 6th, 2005,
mm-hmm.
they have a page, The Americans We Most Admire,
uh-huh.
and they list six people, and one of them is Margaret Sanger.
Mm. Now, Bob,
the racist who hated handicapped people.
How many millions of kids now have been killed in America now?
How many millions?
45 or is it 50 yet?
Well, it's around 50. Reporting, mm-hmm. you know, the government will make sure that every tonsillectomy is reported. But when it comes to killing kids,
uh-huh.
it's rather unconcerned. So, like, California doesn't report
really?
How many kids they kill. And,
so it's more than 50 million, huh?
Well, you have to guess a bit, but I think a conservative estimate is about 50 million
now,
babies.
Now, how about worldwide? Don't we help countries if they have abortion?
Well,
how about worldwide?
Well, worldwide, if you look at even pro-abortion websites, I think you can find that approximately 50 million abortions are committed every year around the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. So altogether, there must be hundreds of millions worldwide killed, huh?
Well, 50 million a year. So, oh, yeah. Yeah, in many countries, abortion is a primary birth control technique.
Mm, mm-mm.
And it is in America to some extent.
Wow. Okay, so, Bob, hey, that first, you found that first yet?
Oh, I've been talking to you. And no, I haven't. But but we'll try to find that, right, Nathaniel?
But it's in Proverbs, right?
Yes, it is in Proverbs for sure, and we'll look for it.
I have my concordance. Can you tell me the name words? I'll probably find it myself. The
okay,
name words.
Proverbs 24.
Okay.
Proverbs 24:11.
Thank you, Bob.
deliver those who are drawn toward death. Some translations say rescue those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not God who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? So God says to rescue those being drawn toward death,
mm-hmm.
you know, hold back those being pulled to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, well, we didn't know it,
mm-hmm.
then Solomon wrote, well, doesn't God know your heart?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knows whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Christians, it's not that we all have to do the same thing, but none of us have the latitude from God to be uninvolved when children are being killed in an epidemic way in a society.
Can you tell me when they first say it, Roe v. Wade, we can kill abortion, can you tell me why Billy Graham did not call one of the biggest movements in the world, in the Christian community, and march on Washington and stop this thing immediately? You know why he didn't do that?
Billy Graham has not really shown all that much concern for things like abortion and homosexuality and pornography.
Do we ever speak out against homosexuality, Billy Graham?
I don't recall it. He may have years ago, but I don't recall it. He certainly hasn't made it all that important. And a lot of Christian ministries have done this. They've thought, hey, we could just, as long as we pray for our meals and we go to Sunday school, everything will be fine. And, you know, there were undoubtedly Christians in Germany who thought that. But as a nation repudiates God in its laws, then, you know, you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to the Christians, too.
I think I once heard to some effect that Billy Graham did not want to do that because he did not want to, I think, jeopardize his position with talking, I think, with presidents.
Well,
I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it's the way I heard that.
Well, he's only had kind words to say for every president. You would think Richard Nixon was a Christian if you listen to Billy Graham, and Bill Clinton for that matter. And he just had Bill and Hillary at his last American crusade in New York City just a week ago, 80,000 people, and they cheered like wild when Bill and Hillary greeted Billy Graham. And both ways, the compliments were extraordinary. And so Bill and Hillary are using Billy Graham to try to get votes. Hillary's running for president now. And Billy Graham figures, well, if I'm really nice to these people, it'll help me be invited to different events.
Okay, I'm almost through. Is it true that President Reagan was just voted the greatest American? Is it true that he set our country, America, set us up to be with the Vatican? And did he actually, him and his wife, actually seek astrologers to guide our country? Is those two things true?
Oh, I don't believe that Reagan sought out astrologers to guide our country. But Nancy Reagan had some kind of interest in astrology and... And that's, you know, when you have people who are not committed Christians, they're easily led in any direction of superstition or just any absurdity or perversion even.
I heard that President Reagan, though, I heard that he set up us to be under the Vatican.
Well,
I
don't even know what that would mean, Nathaniel. What would that mean? Everybody has to take communion now and
no, it was
get confirmed?
Something to the effect that, I forget how it goes.
Okay, well, the Vatican is basically its own country there in Rome, and I think it'd be foolish not to have a relationship with the Vatican, whatever your religious views are.
But wait, though, they are, in general, they're a cult.
Well, cults typically, Christian cults, are typically groups that say that Jesus is not God and that the Bible is not the word of God, or that there's another book other than the Bible that's superior or equal to. And also cults deny the Trinity, typically, those three things. So the Catholic Church has so many terrible teachings, as do the vast majority of Protestant churches.
But they have their own Bible, and they're trying to make Mary co-redeemer with Jesus,
okay.
Am I right?
Well, yeah, some do. And the worship of Mary within the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church officially doesn't teach to worship Mary.
Mm-hmm.
But unofficially, there are millions of Catholics who worship Mary. And the fact that the Vatican, the Pope, bishops do not publicly warn Catholics not to worship Mary, that is blasphemous.
Well, they do?
The fact that they do not warn their followers about worshiping Mary is a great tragedy, and eternally it will be something that the leaders of the Catholic Church will suffer loss because of. Thank you, Nathaniel.
Okay, Bob.
Appreciate your call.
Bob, can I say one question?
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Do you think President Reagan was a godly president?
I think he was a Christian who was wildly ignorant of basic biblical truth. Like George W. Bush, my confidence in Reagan's salvation is way higher than in that of George W. Bush's. I got to interview Ronald Reagan's son, Michael Reagan. In fact, we re-aired that this past Father's Day. And he tells of his father witnessing to him and, you know, the great joy that his father had looked forward to being in heaven with his son through the blood of Jesus Christ. So Ronald Reagan's salvation and political naivete, is easier for me to comprehend. George W. Bush, it's much more calculating and cold. For example, now we have a quarter century since Reagan of seeing all these pro-life Republican presidents packing the federal judiciary with pro-abortion judges.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's George W. Bush on the precipice of putting another judge for life on the U.S. Supreme Court, and he would like nothing more than to put a strong pro-abort like Alberto Gonzalez. And so it's real tragic. Thank you, Nathaniel.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you.
God bless you. Appreciate you. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So the Republican Party is as much immersed into political correctness, well, maybe not as much, but seriously, as are the Democrats. And so George W. Bush, he has a woman retiring from the Supreme Court and the first woman ever to be appointed to the court, no less. And so he can't really replace her if political correctness is a high priority. He can't replace her with a white male, certainly not a healthy white male or someone who's not handicapped. So he has to replace a woman. You know, abortion is not important. He said when he was campaigning, his first campaign promise was that when nominating judges, he would ignore abortion. That was his very first campaign promise. He reiterated that during the presidential debates. He stated explicitly that it was not his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. And so now all the conservative Christians are in shock that he wants to nominate Alberto Gonzalez. Now, he might not, and I hope and pray he doesn't, but he's chastising the conservative Christians on the right, the pro-lifers, saying, take a sedative, calm down. You know, let me pick a judge that I think is qualified. He doesn't care if he's a pro-abort. And why should that surprise us? That's what he said repeatedly. And we'd point that out on the show during the last two campaigns. And Christians would call in and say, oh, he's only saying that. What do you mean he's only saying that? Oh, he's only saying that as a cover. And we'd say, you know, you need leaders if you want to have a victory. And if we're in Germany and somebody's saying, well, and it's Nazi Germany, and they're saying, well, if you elect me, I'm not going to try to stop the killing of Jews. You want to elect that guy? What's the goal? His very campaign is undermining any hope for victory, if that's the kind of things he says. And those are the kinds of things that George W. Bush said. So it's not his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. He ignores abortion when nominating judges. And America's not ready to outlaw abortion. He should have said, I'm not ready. And that would have been more true, because he doesn't care. He cares more about his political career, political power, which is obvious. Shouldn't it be obvious? He's now in his second term. And in his second term, you sort of get to see what the person is really like. And tragically, that's what George W. Bush is really like. And he's that way a good part because our Christian pro-life leaders have given him the latitude to be that way because they've become legal positivists, and it's okay if you kill kids as long as it's part of a political strategy to gain more power for the Republican Party. Then it's okay. If the Democrats kill the kids, then it's terrible. If the Democrats are womanizers or increase social spending, it's terrible. But if the Republicans do it, Arnold Schwarzenegger, George W. Bush, whatever, then these things are tolerated. They're okay. They're funny. So you have a woman who's retiring from the Supreme Court, Grandma Sandra Day O'Connor, who's never met a kid she wouldn't want to kill, and who was put on the court by Ronald Reagan. You know, he was running. He was doing bad with the women, the gender gap. He had a lot of men in the polls that were going to vote for him, not as many women. So he announced that he would put a woman on the Supreme Court. That's when he was campaigning. So he selected Sandra Day O'Connor. And she's been an aggressive pro-abort, even supporting partial birth abortion, even supporting late-term abortion generally, just a total ugly child killer. And so now he needs to replace a woman, and since he's a Republican, he has to consider political correctness so he could replace her. He can't replace her with a white male who has, like, all his parts functioning. He could replace her with another woman or with a minority. And Alberto Gonzalez, Bush thought he's perfect because he's a Hispanic. So he's a pro-abort Hispanic. How could he possibly pick somebody better? It'll show what a great man he is and how he doesn't kowtow to Christians, that he's his own man. So he could replace her with a minority, Hispanic, of course, is a minority, or a handicapped person, or a homosexual. I mean, George W. Bush, he would make history. David Souter, Bader Ginsburg. I don't know. What do I know about some of these people? But as far as with an open, out-and-out homosexual, Bush could do that. And, of course, the Christian leaders around the country, their campaign slogan on homosexual policy is equal rights for homosexuals. So, of course, all the major Christian ministries would have to support a homosexual for Supreme Court because they believe in equal rights for homosexuals. Right? That's what they believe. That's their policy. 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian legal history precedent that homosexuality was a crime, and that public policy helped save tens of millions of human beings from tortured lives and deaths. That's all gone to the wayside, and our Christian leaders all agree with the humanist, Hollywood, the homosexuals, and Hillary, that homosexuality should be legal and that there should be equal rights for homosexuals. So maybe George W. Bush would nominate a homosexual. I mean, we do have the log cabin homosexuals. They're the Republican homosexuals. And Bush has put homosexuals in key posts in the government openly, sort of bragging about it, not quite. He thinks Christians are rotten because we're as negative about homosexuality as we are. And that's a big problem with the body of Christ. As far as George W. Bush is concerned, and there's no way he's going to listen to Dobson or anyone else, he made it clear talking to his family's advisor, as far as homosexuality is concerned. Oh, he's willing to campaign against homosexual marriage. I mean, why not? So is Hillary Clinton. That's just a political issue. That's just political. There's no fundamental reason why. And when our national Christian leaders are on like Hannity and Combs and other shows and they're asked, well, why are you against homosexual marriage? They say things like, well, that's what the law is. That's what the law is? The law changes from year to year. The law is you can kill babies. So why are you against that? That's what the law is. That's not a good answer. Other people say, well, if you read it, Christian leaders, well, if you read in the dictionary, marriage, it's between a man and a woman. Oh, so the dictionary is our ultimate authority on right and wrong. The dictionary. The dictionary? The meanings of words change over time, and that's fine. Of course, it's unavoidable. They will. But we're afraid to say that God created us male and female, and God instituted marriage between man and woman. We're afraid to say things like, we want judges who will fear God and protect the innocent. We're ashamed as Christian leaders in America, and therefore the most significant Christian voice in the world. We are afraid, the Christian leaders are afraid to say, we want judges who fear God and will protect the innocent. They can't utter those words. They're afraid to. They're ashamed. The Apostle Paul knew what it was all about. He said, hey, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have, and focus on the family, we have, what's her name, Carrie Gordon Earle? And she said in the media just this past week, Sandra Day is retiring, and she said, we are less concerned about abortion than we are about getting a judge who's a strict constructionist. That's what she said. Imagine being in Germany, the slaughtering of the Jews, saying, well, we're less concerned about the Holocaust than we are about getting a judge who will really just apply the law. Well, guess what? In Germany, the law was you kill the Jews. And in America, the law is you kill the babies. And a strict constructionist, that means Carrie Gordon Earle, she wants Christian judges on the bench, federal judges, who will uphold Roe v. Wade, because that's what judges do, at least in the appellate courts and all the circuit courts. Now, if you get a judge on the Supreme Court, and they have equal authority with the Roe v. Wade court, with the Republican court that legalized abortion, and so that judge could vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. But all these other hundreds of Republican judges, if you say, we want you guys to be strict constructionists, then you're saying, we want you to uphold abortion, because that's legal, because the Constitution vested judicial authority in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that you can kill an unborn child, and the Constitution gave authority to lesser courts, to the lower courts, as Congress shall ordain, and they, of course, are inferior. They have to obey the Supreme Court. And so the issue is not that we want strict constructionists. That's not what we want on the courts. We want judges who will do right. And if that means resigning rather than rubber stamp the killing of baby 10 like Priscilla Owen did, or if that means issuing a ruling that's directly contradictory to the U.S. Supreme Court and saying the Supreme Court was wrong when they said you could kill an unborn child, and so you issue that kind of ruling, that's the right kind of ruling. That's the kind of courage and leadership and vision that our Christian leaders should be calling for. We will need 100 judges to be thrown out of office because they refuse to kill a single innocent child before we're going to win this fight against abortion. We need 100 judges like that. We don't need the 1,000 judges that we're getting from our Christian political strategy who are saying, well, okay, I'll sign. Where do I sign to kill this baby? I'll do it because it's legal. It's the law. That's why we convicted people in the Nuremberg trials and executed some lawyers. All right, we're out of time. Hey, Bob and Yurt Live, let me remind you about our seminar, Predestination and Free Will, in Denver at the Brown Palace, August 27th. Come on out. OSA is starting July 16th. It's going to be great. Please be involved. Come on out. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, 431-5653, and come to Denver Bible Church.